I didn't come expecting to say anything tonight, but as Brother Gardner once told me, that we all need to be ready to preach, pray, or die at any moment.
We have a third option out for now.
and you don't refuse somebody who sleeps in the director's quarters, especially one that claims he walks around carrying 100-pound rocks. So you learn. But there's a, and I'm not wanting to get into some heavy and deep stuff tonight, because we've been hearing such wonderful things about our salvation. But Brother Jonathan mentioned something about that there's more, much more to us being Christians. And I've been spending a lot of time these past weeks in the summer in a study of the Book of Acts, and in particular the occasions where we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there are six places in the at least six, maybe there are more, but there are six that I can think of offhand where the Book of Acts describes this wonderful infilling and empowerment that came upon the disciples, which not only gave them that name of Christian, that being Christ-like, but really revolutionized their lives and revolutionized the ministry of the church. And one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is the endowment of what does it mean to be endued with power from on high. Jesus told his disciples that they were not to leave Jerusalem until they had received this endowment, as he called it, with power from on high. And that once they had that, they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when you look at that and study that, you'll notice that the Bible speaks of several things. It speaks about being filled with the Spirit. It speaks about being anointed with the Spirit. And Jesus said he was anointed. The Spirit hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He had that anointing upon him. But one other thing, and this is the thought that I just want to share with you for a moment or two, and maybe look up one or two verses with you. It's the stamp or the seal that God puts upon his children to declare that they are his. It's spoken about in several places. Of course, Jesus had that seal upon him when the Holy Spirit descended upon him at the time of his baptism. We read in Corinthians that all of his children, we who are his disciples, have been sealed. But there are two places that I just want to direct your attention for a minute, if I could. One is in the first chapter of Ephesians, and in the 13th verse, where it tells us about this sealing. It says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Now that's the beginning point, and that's what we just sang about, isn't it? And it's the thing that our sister Rachel spoke about, that moment in time that many can point to when their faith rose and they realized that they had a Savior, or they could reach out in faith to a Savior and commit their lives to him. You've heard that word of truth. That word became real. The existence of God became real. The existence of His work of redemption, dying for us, and our need of redemption. All of that truth became very powerful and very real in our lives, and we experience what we call regeneration, or this experience of salvation. And the apostle talks about Him. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, or the good news of your salvation, in whom also, and this is the point, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God put His seal upon us. This thought of having a seal of identification would have been quite recognizable, especially to the Ephesian people, those who lived in the city of Ephesus. They lived in a port city, a city that had a very robust timber trade. And the way things worked, a merchant who would trade in timber or purchase timber would make his way to the fields where the timber was being cut down, and he would pick out a particular log that he wanted to purchase. And of course, he was not in the position to cart that away by himself at that particular time. So he would put his seal upon that, some identification. I think we might be familiar with the letter writing in olden days, when it was sealed with wax and a signet from a ring would be embossed into that wax. I don't know exactly the nature of how the sealing was done in Ephesus, but those logs would be identified as belonging to a particular owner. And then, of course, all of the logs that were purchased would somehow get floated down into the bay until some point in time when the purchaser would send his agent and some means of transportation, and he would go down there and he would identify those logs that belonged to his master, or the one who had purchased them, and then he would get them on board ship or in some other conveyance, and that timber would go to its rightful owner. And this is the idea that Paul plays upon when he talks to the Ephesians. He says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God put His mark upon you. In another place it tells us we are sealed until the day of redemption. But there's one other place, and that's in Corinthians, that I just want to direct your attention to. In 1 Corinthians 6 and the 19th verse, we read something very interesting about that seal. So, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, when God puts His seal and His stamp upon us, that seal implies direct ownership by Him, and we are no longer our own. In 2 Timothy 2:19, and this will be the last verse I'll have you look at, but it tells us something about this seal that I think is worth noting. Nevertheless, he says, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. That's a wonderful statement, isn't it? The Lord knows every one of us. He's mindful of our strengths, our weaknesses, our failures, our shortcomings, our aspirations, our desires, our longings. He's mindful of that, makes note of that. And he keeps a record of that. And he keeps note of every one of us. The Lord knows those that are his. And that's what that seal means. I am his and he is mine. I belong to him. God puts his stamp of ownership upon us. But then the other side of that is equally important and relates to the verse that we read in 1 Corinthians. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So that seal has two messages on it, right? The seal of the United States has something in Latin, right? E pluribus unum, out of many, one is what it means. Seals have something stamped on them. And here this seal that God puts upon his people by the Holy Spirit says, first of all, you belong to me. You're not your own. You're my possession for a purpose. And that purpose is that we live holiness unto the Lord, which is our camp motto. And it tells us that everyone that has this seal, let him depart from iniquity. It reminds us of that emblem which was on the high priest, holiness unto the Lord. God calls us to be his own. God calls us to be a holy people and a righteous people, to abandon the things of this world. A new name is wonderful, but the new heart that Brother Jonathan was talking about is even more wonderful. A heart that says, oh, I want to be holy. I want to be entirely God's. I want to depart from iniquity. I want to live for him and live for him alone. And I trust that God puts that call in every one of your hearts. And not only does that, but he gives you the wherewithal, the endowment, the power, the ability to live for him and to live in a righteous life in a wicked, in a very wicked world in which we live. We can be different. We can stand out. We can shine as lights in a very dark world, and that's what God wants from us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together page 437. We're sealed. Now I belong to Jesus. 437. Let's sing that together, shall we? In fact, why don't we stand for a little change of position? Now I belong to Jesus. If you're able, let's stand as we sing this. Let's sing it together.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul.
Joy floods my soul for
We praise you, we worship you.